जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद लभेत नगर भया शिवा सरी गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे
follow the formula, first dress, then address. Please don't look at me, it's a private activity which is going on here. Transcendental form of the Lord, as it is, satisfies the mind's desire and at once erases all mental incongruities. Upon losing that form, I suddenly get up, being perturbed, as it is usual, when one loses that which is desirable. In this verse, experiencing the transcendental form of the Lord, seeing the transcendental form of the Lord, is described. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written a poem where he compares the transcendental form of the Lord with a mine of blue sapphire jewels, and he describes what happened to him upon seeing this form. His legs could no longer move, he became immovable. He describes like this. Today I would like to discuss what seeing the form of the Lord could mean for a devotee of Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada has cautioned us to not be too imaginative in seeing or imagining to see the form of the Lord. But our process in Krishna consciousness, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, means ultimately we want to have the darshan of the Lord. At this moment, the Lord knows that we are blind. Our spiritual senses are still sleeping. So He has kindly appeared to us in the form of the Asha Vigraha, the transcendental deity form. Now, if you want to see Krishna in the deity, you will have to elevate your seeing. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that there are usually three ways of seeing the deity. You can see on what level you are presently on. The lowest level is the level of a materialist who thinks the deity is made out of material elements. Sometimes in our movement, when devotees come, they ask, "Oh, what is the deity made of marble here or of brass?" This is the lowest level of understanding the deity. But it is a level. The second level is you see the deity as a symbol of God. In Germany, all cars which do service for the postal office have a postal horn. Not as beautiful as Krishna's bugle, but it goes like this. And whenever you see this sign, you know it is a symbol for the post office, which is in charge of letter transfer and also telephones, as far as I know, packets and so on. It's a symbol for something else. So the Jnani and also the impersonalist, and I would say the non-enlightened Hare Krishna devotee, may see the deity not as God, but as a symbol for God. It reminds me of Krishna. The third level, and we are encouraged to rise to this third level of seeing the deity, is what Bhagavad Gita describes the Bhava way. Bhava way means, you know, he is my beloved Lord, and you come to him like this, and at that moment Krishna will reveal himself to you in his more spiritual forms. Devotees in Krishna consciousness have made amazing realizations all over the world with the deities of Radha Shyam Sundar. I believe many of you who are today here have had such realizations where you might have thought at times when you approached Krishna with a sincere question or you really felt like, oh, I'm going to see Radha Shyam Sundar with some love in the heart, some emotions. You might have seen the deity smiles at you. Or sometimes you might have been a little rascal throughout the day, and you come before the deity and you see he's looking very stern at you, and you feel, yes, yes, I know, tomorrow I will do better, don't worry, and so on. Many of these emotions are still projections. That is, what is inside of you, you project on the deities. But some, and it is not up to anyone to, I can't, this is not good to judge for an outsider, but some of the things are very real, where the deity really moves into your consciousness and moves your consciousness. It changes. So we must elevate our seeing of the form, the Archa Vigraha in this world, from the material vision and from this intellectual vision, symbolic, to the Bhava way. Now, the Acharyas, or our glorious tradition, I would say, encourages even a neophyte devotee to meditate also on another form of the Lord, and a very specific part of that form of the Lord. It is described by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, by Shukadev Goswami in the Bhagavatam, that the yogi should repeatedly meditate about the smiling face of Lord Krishna. This Sanatana Goswami describes this in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, that the specific feature of Lord Krishna is His beautiful, charming and enchanting face and smile. But in the Bhagavatam, in the third canto, it is said, the yogi should think about that smiling face of Krishna. And it says that if one does so, this has a very, very particular effect on your spiritual life. It says that by thinking about the smiling face of Krishna, the ocean of tears is evaporated. Do you know how many tears you cry in one life? 64 liters, if you are an average person. And if you are a Mataji who is a little bit more emotional, say up to 72 liters. This is usually what you cry in liters during one lifetime. So every one of us cries in the world. This is miserable. Oh, misery. Hare Krishna. So by thinking, this is what the third canto says, and Srila Prabhupada talks about this in the purport, by thinking about the smiling face of the Lord, that ocean of tears which is accumulated from all the 64 liters of the living entities, that becomes evaporated. Evaporated means it becomes dried up. And if you think about this smiling, thinking about the smiling face of the Lord, it is very relieving. Please remember the opening chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, where Arjuna is in a dilemma. He said his mouth is dried up, and simultaneously he cries tears. That means Ayurvedic-wise, he's totally in a mess, emotionally. You can't have a dry mouth and cry. This is opposite nature, fiery element and watery element. So he is really dojananda, mixed up. He is really in an existential crisis. And he has just told Krishna about it. Do you know what Krishna does? He smiles. He smiles at the misery of the world. And by this smile, it's not a cruel smile, it's a merciful smile by which he elevates the person beyond his present misery. Isn't it when you feel misery and you go to someone and he goes like this, you feel, oh, maybe it's not so bad. Maybe it's not so bad. You look from a distance, which is created by that smile on your misery. Psychologists in the world say, smile at your tears and they will go. Smile about your life. But we say, smile and then think about Krishna's smile. You have not much to smile. But Krishna, he is totally transcendental and beyond. For him, it's not artificial to be transcendental to the world. It's not an imagined distance or unaffectedness. It's not a positive thinking. Krishna is in that transcendental realm and so on. So think about the smile of the Lord. This is what we are encouraged in the Bhagavatam when we want to think about the form. I very often do this, think about the smile of the Lord. It is very, very nice. It makes you very happy. And think about how the Lord is in a transcendental position and invites you to come out of the rotten material plane to the eternal spiritual world. You can, do you sometimes meditate most properly you think deeply, you can think deeply, oh, the smile of the Radha Shyam Sundar. You should think like this, and you will become very, very happy in Krishna consciousness. The smiling face of the Lord is this very attractive feature which attracts us from the material to the spiritual platform, and we can chant about, think about it. Are you sometimes lusty? Now, who will say in a public? It is described when you are lusty, which does happen to everyone who has a material body. He should think about the curved eyebrows of the Lord, which are very much more attractive than any other attractive feature or attractive form in the spirit. Meditation. All right. We wish to move on. Narada Muni, he saw the full form after and his mind was totally satisfied, so satisfied that he could no longer become satisfied with material forms. I would like to ask you, what exactly was the process which Narada Muni took in order to see the transcendental form of the Lord? Maybe this process can be useful for you also. Srila Jiva Goswami describes that there is a series of verses in the first canto of the Bhagavatam which really summarize the whole Bhagavat process. And you will be very enlivened to hear that Srila Prabhupada quoted these verses, the series of verses, in his arrival prayer in Boston when he came to America and started his mission, because he just wanted to highlight that this is what I have come to preach. So please hear this. I must admit I'm a little bit uneasy because some devotees sleep and it is very difficult to remain awake. So please don't sleep at this moment. I will give you a sign when you can continue to sleep, because this is very important. This is the process, really. Hare Krishna. Sorry, I come from a rough country. This is the most subtle I can be. I will express this now in different words than you have heard it, because you will fall asleep again. I know the Hare Krishna audience very well since 30 years, so... The Bhagavatam describes that the bonds of your karma which bind you to this world with iron chains can be cut by the powerful sword of Anudya. Anudya means remembrance of Krishna. Now most of us are not attracted to think of Krishna. We have so many other subject matters to talk about and think about. This has to do with our psychology, with many material sanskaras or impressions in our heart, which totally determine the flow of our thinking throughout the day. So the Bhagavatam says there is a way how you can increase your ruchi in the katha, in the topics of Lord Vasudev. It is said you must serve those devotees who are completely freed from all vice. By such service, one gains affinity for hearing the messages of Vasudev. My dear devotees, this is a process which works so good. when you don't feel attraction to Krishna, which is an unfortunate disease of the heart, serve the devotees. When you are here in Shima, in Vrindavan Dham, and you all of a sudden realize, even here, I forget Krishna. I'm a master of illusion. Then change your modus of life and tell the temple commander, I have two hands, please let me engage in some service. For instance, cleaning the temple is a very nice service. Early in the morning, when no one sees you and you don't you don't clean the temple before your false ego to be a very advanced cleaner of the temple. Do some service here in Vrindavan Dham. This will, to the devotees, after all, it's good if they are in a clean temple and so on. Be very respectful to devotees and you will find out that your taste barometer will go from the minus category to the plus category. Now, what happens if we have a taste in Krishna? Krishna, when he sees that someone becomes eager to hear about him, will become very active in helping the devotee. Shrimatasvakata Krishna Punya Shavana Kirtana Hityanta Stosha Padrani Vidanoti Suritsata. He becomes the Sulit. Sulit means very, very benefactor, it's translated. He becomes very close to you. And he helps you if he sees that you are there with chanting Hare Krishna with taste, hearing Krishna Katha with taste. He cleanses these material desires which are so troublesome for us from our heart. You actually feel, I have not these material desires any longer, because Krishna has taken them away. This is what happens when you hear about Krishna. The Lord, why is the Lord becoming active? Prabhupada explains in the Prabhupada, the Lord is more anxious to take us back into his kingdom than we can desire. Krishna wants more Bhakta Priya than you, that you come back to him. Amazing, isn't it? He is more active in the relationship than we. And if we see someone is starting to hear about me with taste, Krishna makes arrangement. Prabhupada says, most of us do not desire at all to go back to Godhead. Only a very few men want to go back to Godhead. Very little percentage. Maybe 2% of the Hare Krishna movement. This shows you we are a minority group. Very little. I'm sorry, I'm trying to catch your attention, that's why I'm also like this. No, it's more, it's definitely more. Anyone who goes to Vrindavan, Prabhupada says, will get the impetus whether he wants to go back home, back to Godhead. So you will all be in that category. But anyone who desires to go back to Godhead, Sri Krishna helps in all respects. It will be here with taste. And then more explanations are given. I will be a little brief. By continually hearing about Krishna from the Bhagavatam and doing service to the devotees, the heart becomes more and more cleansed. And this means that the effects of the lower modes, that is, lust, desire and hankering, these things which make you gravitate to the material energy, They disappear from the heart. This happens by hearing. And then it says here, thus established in the mode of unalloyed goodness, that's Vishuddha Sattva, transcendental state of consciousness, the man whose mind has been enlivened by contact with devotional service to the Lord gains positive scientific knowledge of the personality of God. Positive scientific knowledge is vijnanam. Vijnanam means realized knowledge. This is the process of the Bhagavatam. Our process is very simple, to say it in two sentences. Hear the Bhagavatam or Krishna Katha or the message of Krishna and serve the devotee. Then everything will be cleansed from you and you will then see the Lord. Vijnanam, by realization, you will see Him. Darshan, Sakshat Darshan. Very simple, very simple. You might say, Sachinandan Swami, this doesn't work. And I will say, it will work. And tell you a very, very nice illustration. Prabhupada has talked about this in two lectures, as far as I could find. He talked about a thief who had heard about Krishna and came with material motives to Vrindavan to steal Krishna's crown. And he says the whole story can be found in a book called Bhakti Granta or Bhaktamala. So we have found this episode and I want to tell it to you because it makes in a little bit more detail. I can't tell it in a whole detail because it takes 4 hours, but in a summary. Govardhan was a thief. His father had was stealing during the daytime and Govardhan during the night. And his father gave him only one instruction. Never go to a place where the Bhagavatam is discussed. Govardhan had asked, why not? And the father just had answered in a very authoritarian way, am I your father or not? Don't go there. Thus. So Govardhan had never heard anything about Krishna, but one day, by a strange accident, there was a Bhagavatam Katha in the forest where he was stealing, and he sat at the far rear end. And while he was there in the Bhagavatam talk, the talker said, there is a boy called Shyama Sundar. He has a golden crown and is dressed with pearls. Wow, said Govardhan. I want to steal that golden crown and pearls because now I'm just getting some small 10 rupees from here to there. This is so much hard work. If I can get a crown and pearls, I don't have to work for 20 years or 25 and a half years. Let me find out more about this boy. And he came every day to the Bhagavatam reading and he heard many things about Krishna, that he has ankle bells, that he has a locket, that he keeps the picture of Radharani, that he has golden rings with his own names on it, Krishna. And he thought, very good. So one evening, he asked the Bhagavatam reader, what is the address of this boy, please? Bhagavatam reader said, he looked at him and he saw it was a thief. He said, well, Krishna, now you're in trouble. Vrindavan. Vrindavan is his address. So, during that So then after Govardhan had asked this question, he saw the reading was over, and all the listeners came forward and offered a little donation in the basket, as it is customarily done. We were standing there. Should I also offer or not? I mean, I don't believe in this holy talk, but maybe it's an auspicious beginning of an auspicious theft. So we took out something, and we only had a golden coin, and see, golden coin. Anyways, he threw it in the basket, and we were thinking, if it's not true, there is no Krishna in Vrindavan, no Syama Sundar, no boy like this, then I would go to the the reader who gave this lecture, and I would steal all the money from you. He was a thief, a natural thief. So then that particular evening he chanted all night, Syama Sundar Vrindavan, Syama Sundar Vrindavan, Syama Sundar Vrindavan, Syama Sundar Vrindavan, and then fell into sleep. When he woke up in the morning, he had forgotten the name of the boy. Syama Sundar, it's a long name to remember for a thief. He thought, how can I feel? If I only have an address, it's so difficult. I can't ask anyone for the boy. So in the evening he wanted to come back to the person who gave the Bhagavatam lecture, but he was informed the katha was finished and he had gone back to Rajasthan. So he decided, well, for the crown I do everything, and traveled 3 days to the Pandit's house in Rajasthan. And he came in, he knocked on the door. The Pandit came out, again the thief. And Govardhan said, don't worry, don't worry, don't look so afraid. Just I had forgotten the name of the boy. This is a very simple name, Syama Sundar. Syama Sundar. Can't we say Syam? And, no, said the Pandit. There are many Syams. Every second boy in Vrindavan is called Syam. But Syama Sundar is only Krishna. This is the only one. Okay, he said, Govardhan, while I'm here, is there a time during the day when he is alone, this boy? You know, he was a thief, murderer. He planned his actions. He was not spaced out. The Pandit said, oh, this is very difficult. When he goes in the forest, he's surrounded with many cowherd boys. No, that's not good. But because they can scream so loud, these boys. But then the Pandit said, yes, at the noontime, 12 o'clock, he tells his friend they should sleep, and he goes off to meet a very special person. It's a little private. So he sneaks off alone. Okay, thank you. And said, Govardhan, while I'm here, does he like to eat something special? Yes, Bhatta Vashuka. He's known as Makanshaw, the stealer of Bhatta and Shuka. Oh, he's like me. he was ignorant. So then he went to Vrindavan. He had heard the Bhagavatam, he had rendered service by giving a donation, and he chanted on the way, Vrindavan Syam Sundar, Vrindavan Syam Sundar, Vrindavan. I'm doing the biggest coup in my life, Vrindavan Syam Sundar. And he arrived in Vrindavan, and because he was extremely eager, this is a point you must, which will come up, because he was extremely eager, at 12 o'clock he had a darshan of Lord Krishna with his cowherd voice. And he saw how Krishna said, "You must be very tired, my dear cowherd boys. We sleep now." "No, no, we are not tired. We are not tired." And Krishna said, "I am very tired." And he went to sleep and told everyone, "Sleep with me just for association." And then they slept and Krishna got up. Vishnu started to sneak away and went the forest path where Govardhan was hiding behind the bushes. And Krishna was close. Govardhan jumped out of the bushes. "Stop, please. Are you Shyama Sundara?" Krishna looked at him and he began to smile. He said, "You must be Govardhan the thief, huh? You only think of stealing, huh? But it doesn't matter. I'm also a thief. When I was small, I was stealing butter. I sometimes do this still. When I was older, I was stealing the clothes of the gopis. And now, I'm stealing hearts and sins." "Boy, it's too much, that Govardhan, he knows my name." "Govardhan, I have a question. You are alone now, and you are a little boy, and I am a strong man. But if I would theoretically steal your throne, your crown..." "Oh, that wouldn't be very good for you," said Krishna, "because I have 33,000 very powerful servants. One is Brahma. I could just call them with my food." "Oh, that's all right. I just said theoretically," said Govardhan. Krishna said, I have also a question. "Did you bring something for me?" "Yes," said Govardhan. I forgot. "Yes, I brought something. Butter and sugar, huh?" said Krishna. "Yes, how did you know?" "Well," said Krishna, "we could do one thing. You give me the butter and sugar which you have brought for me, and in exchange, I will give you my crown." "And I guess it's very good," said Govardhan. "Here, take it all." I'm not a fool," said Krishna. "I'm also like you. You have certainly poisoned the butter and sugar with some strong sleeping poison, and if I eat it, I will fall asleep and you will steal everything from me." No, said Govardhan, "I'm not so cruel, I'm not so uncivilized to do this with little boys." "Then you eat first," said Krishna. Govardhan, "Why not, sir?" is wanted to eat from the butter, but Krishna says, stop, "I'm not so foolish. You know where the sleeping poison is and where it is not, so you will take where it is not. So let me feed you." Krishna took the butter and fed Govardhan. "Don't forget, Krishna is more interested than you to bring you back home back to Godhead." Govardhan said, enough, nothing is left for you." Krishna said, "This is all right." In the end, he went like... "Okay," said Govardhan, "can I now take it?" No, said Krishna. Your very groovy, gross fingers will leave an imprint on my soft skin, and Mother Yashoda will see that you stole everything. Then you will be in trouble. I will give you." And then Krishna took his crown and gave this to Govardhan. Then he said, I have this peacock feather also, which was in the top knot. Do you wish to have it?" It's all right, said Govardhan, keep it. And you're such a fool. The peacock is feather is tied with golden chains in my top knot. It's very valuable. Here, take it. I have this pearl. You know, Krishna has a pearl here in the nose. And when Krishna breathes, the pearl shakes. And this looks very attractive because at that time, the reddishness of his nostril becomes reflected on the white pearl, and it is a very attractive sight. So, we're shaking. Govardhan said, no, keep it. I don't want to disturb this beauty. Govardhan was getting attracted and influenced. Don't be sentimental, said Krishna. This pearl, my mother told me, it's a Gajendramani, it's from the head of an elephant. It's very valuable. Gajendra, the king of the elephant, gave it. Take it. He took it off. Krishna took his earrings off, his pearls off. He took everything off until finally only his golden foot ankle bells were left. And he was struggling to also take them off. But he couldn't, because Mother Yashoda ties them very, very tightly, because Krishna dances so much, and very often he comes home and he has lost the ankle bells. So Krishna was sweating and said, I can't do it, I can't get them off. Here, you are a strong thief, take it. He put his lotus feet in the, which the yogis cannot attain, in the lap of Govardhan. Govardhan felt many waves of ecstasy coming from those lotus feet entering his heart. And he wanted to tie the anchor belts away, but his hands slipped and he touched the lotus feet. He began to cry. Don't be sentimental. Finally, he had tied them up, and then he said, my dear Lord, I have only one desire. I want to decorate you. Well, said Krishna, you can do anything. It's your property. You can do with your property what you wish. So Govardhan, the thief, began to decorate the beautiful body of the Lord. And then Krishna came home that evening to Mother Yashoda. Yashoda said, this is a different style of decoration than I have done. Who has decorated you? Krishna, one of my devotees. Bring him. He saw, has done such a nice job. No, said Krishna, you wouldn't like to see him. For 7 more days, Krishna came to meet Govardhan, the thief. And on the 7th day, Govardhan was totally beyond himself. He was in ecstasy, and he went home, back home to Godhead, never to return to the material world. What is the element here which is important? The element is Govardhan was intensely eager to meet Krishna. Prabhupada, in his 2 lectures, he talks about this. If you want to meet Krishna, you must be eager. If you are not eager, you will not be able to come close to Krishna. This is Rupa Goswami's verse. He says, one price must be paid, that is intense eagerness for Krishna. This is very, very important. The Bhagavatam process of Narada Muni, by which he saw Lord Krishna, will work. When one is utkanta, very eager, I can have the most wonderful plate of prasadam before me and offer it to Bhakta Priya. But if Bhakta Priya is not hungry, we will be totally uninterested in the plate. It will not be digestible to him. So you can have the most wonderful process. You can be in the holy Dham. You can be with the most wonderful deities. But if you are not eager, you will be 10,000 light years away from everything. So the process of Krishna consciousness must work. Krishna bhakti rasa bhavita matihi. Loyam is the word which is used in that verse. You must have this eagerness. And the eagerness to serve Krishna can only be obtained by those, by seeing examples of the eagerness, role models. Therefore in Chaitanya Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said that when we are in Braj, in Vrindavan, we must follow the footsteps of the great devotees of Lord Krishna. We must follow those footsteps. And it is a, we should not say, oh, these high, boring subjects. We should say, what is the example of the great devotees? You will definitely imbibe some of this eagerness. Otherwise, it cannot come. But be very happy you have come to Vrindavan. Whatever your state is, Vrindavan will work on you. And it will create that eagerness. I remember a dear godbrother of mine, whose mother experienced the transformative potency of the dust of Vrindavan. She came and she wanted to kidnap her son from Vrindavan, our Vrindavan temple. But one morning she woke up and she said her son, to her son, I hate to admit it, but I woke up in the morning and I was chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, melody, with a melody. Not a singer ordinarily, but the son was smiling because Vrindavan creates also that eagerness to go back to Krishna. Just stay here and keep this one rule to be very respectful and careful with all the devotees inside and outside, even the insects and rickshawalas and so on. Very respectful. Then you will see how the eagerness will come, and the environment, this very spiritual environment of Vrindavan, will empower you. Hare Krishna, my heart is so full with so many subjects, but I have already gone beyond time, and one is not invited to give lectures again if one breaches the etiquette. So I will stop here. What is the realistic time? Because my time... 9:25, that's not so bad. I was told 9:20 to 9:25. So it's Indian flexible time, we have 3 more minutes. Is there a relevant question? A well thought out question. Yes, our devotee, please tell your name again because we remember you. Yes, Vishwamati Nandam Prabhu. Question, Yashomati Nandan Prabhu from the cold country of Russia has inquired that he has heard that Narada Muni again lost the vision of the Lord because he had a slight fault. And Yashomati Nandan has heard the interpretation that this was due because he did not preach. It is true, Narada Muni lost the vision of the Lord again, and Krishna told him it's due to some impurity. Those who are impure will not be able to hold the vision of the Lord. It's also said you can only chant always, constantly, if your mind is pure, because you have worshipped Vasudev for more than 100 births. To hold something in Krishna consciousness, purity is necessary, even to hold a chanting practice. Narada Muni's fault, as I have heard it in the commentary of Jiva Goswami, was that he had a slight attachment to the mode of goodness, and he liked to stay in a goodness place, nice lakes, nice forests. And one might interpret, yes, he did not go, he didn't leave the forest for the benefit of others, but it is very precisely said he had some attachment to the mode of goodness still. And yes, this may be a relevant interpretation. Yes. Therefore, this process says almost when you hear about Krishna, your anattas are almost entirely destroyed. Something is still left, and that little something will only go if you become intensely eager. That fire of eagerness will burn away all the rest of the remnants. He preached, he went out everywhere, and he preached the glories of the holy name, we hear. And at the end, when he left the body, he again had a darshan of the Lord and went to him. Good. Thank you very, very much for listening. I want to wish all of you a very nice day in Vrindavan Dham. Use every second wisely. Hearing and chanting is certainly the best use of the time. Those of you who do not know, there is a very great nectar week coming up. It starts tomorrow. We will sit in the lap of the Giriraj Govardhan, just very close to the hill, and hear from Burijan Prabhu, and we will hear also from his wife and myself about very wonderful spiritual subjects. So please, even if you cannot come all the time, please just come by one of those days, sit with us under the shade of the trees, listen to the subject, the wonderful subjects. Some of them will be a very great Krishna Katha which will go on there. Bhakti Rasayana verses will be dealt with. There will be a very nice access to dynamic reading of Prabhupada's books. It's really, really nice. So come by, and this might whetten your appetite so that next year you will all sit under the shade of the Kalpa Vriksha trees and all your desires will be fulfilled. This was a little advertisement. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sisi go nitai ki jai. Go premanandi hari hari bol.